Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is songwriter, performer, musician, and artist Joe Crookston. Crookston has released 4 award-winning CDs, including Abel Baker, Charlie and Dog, Darkling and the Bluebird Jubilee, and his most recent beautiful new collection called Georgia, I'm Here. His song Blue Tattoo was inspiration for a documentary about a Holocaust survivor from Elmira, New York, and he is the recipient of a Rockefeller Foundation grant. Crookston tours regularly in the U.S., Canada, and Ireland. And welcome back to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Tish. I'm so excited to be back here with you.
Hi, it's so good to see you.
Yeah.
Now you've become known for your beautifully crafted songs that tell touching and moving and remarkable stories. Did you come from a family of storytellers?
Oh, good question. I came from a family where my mother was a songwriter, and she was an accordion player for early in her life, and she would play accordion at dances. I lived in Northeast Ohio, and before I was born, she would play around at a lot of the dances in the Polish and German clubs and that kind of thing. But then she got serious. It was almost like, no, the accordion is for fun. So she decided to be a songwriter and was called to be a songwriter, or whatever you'd say. And so I grew up with her writing songs in the house every day. She would write a song or two. And she took that as a divinely inspired process in her life to write songs. And not so much storytelling, though. So I would say that I was around a person who was very creative every day and valued creativity. And that, I think, is what was handed down to me in a way of, like, creativity matters. And,
yeah.
And it's good to be creative.
And then you came upon your career wanting to tell stories and wanting to meet people and find out about their lives, it sounds like.
I did. I think, you know, I do have a, when I was in college, I went to Kent State University and I was studying classical guitar. So I was learning tone and technique. I was playing guitar. I was really into the sonic landscape of music. But then I went to a folk festival, and like Kent State Folk Festival. And I heard performers like John McCutcheon, and actually I heard the Horseflies from Ithaca, New York, play at this festival in Kent. And that weekend kind of changed my perception or my orientation towards music, which was be a great musician, but singing songs about community, singing songs about us as people, as a community, all of a sudden, by giving small stories of a person's life to shed kind of compassion on one person, one homeless man's life or one Holocaust survivor's life, by telling their story, in a sense, the stories were connecting all of us. So
yeah,
I think
that
changed my perception. So I didn't really grow up in a house of storytellers, but I learned that later.
Yeah, yeah. I can see why telling stories about people's lives would build a community and build empathy, you know, because a lot of people don't tell their own stories. They just don't know how in some ways. Now, I want to ask you this. Even your gritty, sad, touching songs seem to be searching for some kind of transcendence to make us happy, you know, to make us feel something positive.
Yeah, to make us happy, I would say that I can see why you'd say that. I don't think of it that way. I sometimes think that we all, myself, I would say maybe we are a combination of hope and cynicism, of power and discouraged. So these opposites exist in me and in us and in our world. There is no way we can sing a song without both of those in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, that ballast of sadness, of despair, of cynicism, and then on the opposite end of that, this light, transcendence, this kind of movement evolutionarily towards something that is possible, as opposed to our reptilian brain keeping us, you know,
yeah,
in a sense. So I think it's not so much wrap it up with a nice bow so that it's positive or happy. It's more, it's reaching for what's possible, I think, in our own
souls.
So
giving people hope in some ways, right? Because even sad songs make me feel hopeful a lot of the time. I think, whoa, somebody else is
else feels that way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying.
It's a very tricky balance, I think, what you're saying. I'm just make a little point of saying I am very conscious of trying not to wrap things up with a bow and make them nice at the end. That doesn't work for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel that it is true, and I feel it's true, that there is a place of transcendence beyond the sadness that is possible. And so maybe I'm just reaching for that. I'm interested in reaching for that, but not pretending like it's always there or it's easy to find.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it's not plain out and simple, boom. You know?
Well, no, that shows in your songs. Yeah. You don't try to wrap things up. You almost give us the freedom to go with it wherever we need to go with it.
That's, yeah, thanks.
Which is what's so beautiful about your stuff. Now, let's listen to the title track from Georgia, I'm Here. Do you want to tell us a little tiny bit about it before we play it?
Yeah, Georgia, I'm Here. I would say that this is my expression of Georgia, I'm Here. Georgia O'Keeffe, the painter and artist, was someone who was fiercely herself. She was just, I'm painting in a man's world, and I'm going to paint the way I want to paint, and I'm going to put that out in the world no matter what the art world says about my paintings. And it's the confidence and the guts, in a sense, to just put something out that is totally true and unique for yourself and not really care if people like it or not. So Georgia, I'm Here, in a sense, is me stepping into that metaphorically. Georgia, that uniqueness and willingness to put myself out no matter what.
Let's listen to it.
All the glitter and diamonds and clothes we hide behind, we lean and we pose. I'm swimming hard upstream, and I'm stringing these words so they'll know what I mean. Georgia, Georgia, I'm here, and I'm leaning on you, and if you need me to, I'll be the one to remind you of go when the spirit is low, and the takers say no. Georgia, I'm here, Georgia, on you if you need me to. You'll be the one to remind me of why we get up and we try. It's a broken and cruel and a beautiful world. It's a broken and cruel and a beautiful world. Georgia, Georgia, I'm here, and I'm leaning on you, and if you need me to.
You know, your stuff is just so beautiful, and it does always feel like you're trying to gather people together and not just stand there all by yourself and on a pedestal, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to gather people around. It's really a different kind of way of performing in this kind of egotistical era.
Yeah. I used to question that about myself, or I used to think, I'm so not cool, you know? I'm not one of the cool, you know, mysterious, shrouded
aloof.
In mystery, aloof
yeah,
artists.
Yeah.
I never understood that. But I did understand working really hard and practicing a lot on my instruments and creating sonic beauty and landscapes that are beautiful, and also creating kind of a we experience, in a sense. I think, I'm not saying that someone like Pete Seeger, his musical choices or his sound or his songwriting necessarily has influenced, but the spirit behind his music has always been a soundtrack or a backdrop behind what I do. Mm-hmm. In a sense, is that we are here together, you know, and I think maybe moving through the world a little more connected is maybe a little less lonely.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing to be doing in this day and age when people do seem so isolated, you know, staring into their phones and not talking to their neighbors. And now, you seem to write a lot of your work on the road. Is that true? And,
yeah.
and that's where that feeling of you're incredibly self-aware in many ways, because you are in a foreign place, perhaps. Talk to us about where you do write. Is it on the road, a lot of it?
You know, it's a great observation, and I've loved taking the train. I've taken Amtrak trains like around the country, you know, two or three times, you know, really like being on a moving train, being in a moving car. It's not so much running from something. It's not like running away or avoiding. Mm-hmm. It's that I'm going to say it as clearly as I can. I'm someone who I go in deep and I tend to, almost against my will sometimes, just really connect with people very deeply. And if I don't move and if I don't get perspective, I lose perspective. So in a way...
So you get almost sucked into
something. I might get sucked into something. And that's really cool. It's like a place of, you know, really discovery, and there's a lot of juice there and there's a lot of depth or whatever. And sometimes it can be like, whoa, I got to get out of this rabbit hole, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think for me, that combination in my life, it dawned on me that I like to be moving. I like to be traveling. I like to get perspective big and look across the Atlantic Ocean from Ireland over to New York, over to my home in Ithaca, and reflect on how is that going there in Ithaca from Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And that helps me make choices. But if I stay in one place too long, I can end up in a little bit of a rabbit hole. So I try not to do that.
So maybe that gives you a perspective on who am I in Ithaca and who am I in this place too.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah. And then I can go down deep when I'm there. I can think about how am I there? How am I, you know, in my community or in my own creative process or in my relationship or in my marriage, you know, and then come back home with a little more perspective. So it's just that traveling really helps me keep perspective on the rabbit holes that I climb down in, you know. And I don't mean rabbit holes in a negative way as much as just kind of, I like going in down deeper and seeing who people are and where, you know, how I relate to them. And and that can be a wonderful thing. And can be a little challenging at times.
Well, it shows in your songs. And speaking of trains, I want to hear an excerpt from Big Sky to tell us about that. It's a beautiful nostalgic road song.
Yeah. Okay, that happened on an Amtrak train on the Empire Builder heading from Minnesota to Seattle. And in a way, I like to say that this song is about nothing. Nothing happens in this song whatsoever. It's just, you know, guy on a train meets a woman. They travel for a while. She gets off the train. End of story. And that's really it. No, there's no drama. But there's some moment of humanity that happens there in the seats where they share their shared experience. They kind of have this conversation. That happens to me a lot when I travel. I end up on an airplane sitting next to a stranger, and by the time we get off in Denver, we're like best friends, you know, but we never see each other again. That's
right.
It's like, wow, that was amazing, you know, or on an Amtrak train. So it's, I guess in a way, the whole song for me is just, it's exactly what I just said. It's the combination of traveling and perspective, and it is that personal connection that happened while I was traveling.
Let's listen to it.
I am an early morning passenger on the Empire Builder, heading west across the North Dakota plains. I always said I'd take the train. Well, I'm thinking about the sunrise, missing you and how the time flies. Packed what I needed and I'm gone to a brand new start. And I'm bringing a broken heart. Big sky in the middle of nowhere. Everything I know is up in the air.
If you're just joining us, my guest is singer, songwriter, producer, and painter Joe Crookston. Now, I want to talk to you about your painting. I think your painting is so amazing. Have you been doing that forever? Tell us about this.
Yeah. Well, so I studied classical guitar at Kent State and, you know, the folk festival, and I discovered my love of songwriting. And there was a point, in later, like college and after I left, I never graduated. I just sort of dropped out to be a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of that, actually. And I, someday maybe go back to school, but I don't know. I just went off.
I think you're in school now
as
a musician.
I think that's
traveler.
What I realized for myself. Yeah, that's exactly right. But I did some studying of visual art and painting in studio art. And I very much kept those separate. So I would play music and I would travel and I would write songs and record. And I would do some paintings along the side, but it was very separate. I just thought of them as two separate things. And Honestly, it's just been in the last 3 or 4 years where I've brought my visual art and painting and my music together and really see them as an integrated art form. And a couple ways I'm do that is I think my songs are very image-filled. They're colorful. You can step into them like mm-hmm. you can a cinematic story. So you see the bluebird and you see Rosemary sitting in the chair on the train.
And you see the rooster.
And the rooster, yeah. You know, and so you're kind of in the movie, and I like that. And I think that a great painting, in a sense, I realize how visual my music is and how the visual art. There's another way, too, that I think painting for me is I'm not on stage, I'm not performing, and I'm really aware that my paintings aren't for an audience.
Oh.
And that frees me up. I think I need that in my life because I you know, 120 shows a year at this point, and I love teaching and facilitating and performing and all that. But I'm really aware that I need an art form that is just, I really don't care if anybody likes it. I have no interest in pleasing anybody with my...
That is really, and you're showing it more, though.
But I'm showing it. So therefore, it's kind of like, here it is. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, great. You know, and I'm having a great, it's really freeing to me to just go home and relaxing. I just zone out and paint for 3 hours and I just sit there and swirl my acrylics. You know? And it really is. It's my personal meditative time, and it's not about putting out a song for someone or, you know, releasing it or recording it or standing in front of an audience. And I need it and love it. So,
I think it's impressive, too. I mean, you go from almost like whimsical Peter Max kind of imagery to Marc Chagall, things floating in the sky. I love it. I love the way you can transition from realistic to something that's almost, you know, cartoonish in a way. Whimsical is what I can say. Not really cartoonish, but it's great.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it does bring up a whole question for me of, like I have the technique of painting. I could paint a really realistic still life of a glass with the peaches and the, you know, flowers or whatever. But it doesn't... I can do that. I have the technique to do that in some way, but I don't like it, you know? I think I'm more interested in having a story and maybe finding my own kind of, what's my Georgia O'Keeffe? What is my kind of quirky way of doing it that is like, I don't care if you like it or not.
And, you know, the glass of water has been done.
Yeah, the glass, right. With the stem, with the rose stem that kind of...
I want to play one more excerpt from Georgia I'm Here, and this is called Minor in the Morning, and it's so different. It's a dance tune. It's great. It's like old-fashioned country music.
It's old-time bluegrass,
To tell us where it came from.
Well, where it comes from is that I have so many different parts. Like, I play clawhammer banjo. I play a lot of, in the last couple years, well, you know, 10 years, but really, really work on my fiddle playing and playing old-time Southern tunes. So I have this whole side of my person who is clawhammer banjo, fiddle, and old-time and bluegrass. Like, I have been to many bluegrass festivals and old-time, you know, jams, and that music means so much to me. But it's not what I do. It's not the expression that I put out when I stand on stage and sing. But honestly, it brings me the most joy of, like, when I'm doing that with a group of people, I am in bliss. I'm just so blissed out. So in some ways, this would lead to a different conversation maybe in a little bit, but this is an example of one of many different parts of my personality that I'm trying to pull together.
Great.
You know, here's the bluegrass, old time, kind of let's just have a great hoedown and sing a great song.
And let's listen to it because we can tell that you're really having a good time. Let's listen.
I got a chisel and a hammer, I'm digging down deep inside. I'm a miner in the morning, I'll be digging till I'm satisfied. I'll be digging till I'm satisfied. I'm gonna lay down in the shade, run my fingers through the moss. I'm gonna let it be the pillow where I lay down this lonely cross. Lay down this lonely cross. I read the book of wisdom, and I prayed to see the truth, but still I cannot assuage this yearning for you, this yearning for you. I'm gonna lay down in the shade, run my fingers through the moss.
I'm gonna let it be the pillow I lay down this lonely cross. I lay down this lonely cross.
I love this tune. I actually started dancing around the house when I thought, my God, this isn't Joe Crookston.
Yes, it is, though.
But it is. It is, absolutely. So do you want to tell us about it? You're trying to pull the childlike part of yourself out? What are you going for?
I would say it's not, maybe not even pulling the childlike. It's pulling the absolute abandon of just, I am not thinking. I've learned the craft of songwriting. I know how to sing. I know how to play my instrument. Now, let go, and with total abandon, just let it out. Don't overthink it.
Don't censor
yourself. Overcraft it. Uh-huh. Don't make it so perfect. Don't. That for me really is, it's kind of like I've integrated the head and the heart, and now it's time to just be like, you know, just put it out there in a way that is really more raw and more simple. And I honestly, like I said, I've learned how to play Irish fiddle tunes. I go to Ireland every year, and I can sit with some Irish musicians and play Irish tunes. I can play old-time tunes, bluegrass. I've been playing a lot of slide blues guitar. So I have all these parts of myself now that I'm really trying to figure out how to integrate them together, how to synthesize all these different seemingly disparate parts that I've explored out of curiosity. Oh, my, how I love playing blues on the slide guitar. And I can sit for a whole year, you know, like practicing and really, and in my shows, I do it. I play blues slide and stuff like that. But I'm not a blues player.
Might just be the beginning, right? I mean, we're starting to see this other side of Joe Crookston.
Yeah.
It's always been there.
It's always been there. I'm letting it out, and I'm practicing it, and I'm working these different... So in a sense, what's happened is I've become like a pretty good Irish fiddle player, or I've become a pretty good old-time fiddle player. I've become a pretty good blues player. But that's not... None of those are who I really am. It's the combination of that is
so. So do you think... I mean, you've been on the road. You're successful. People love your music. I've heard nothing but good things about your music everywhere. So do you feel like you're finally comfortable showing yourself in some ways? Has it been a metamorphosis for that reason, too, do you think?
Yeah. I do. I think that it's the confidence to be going back to Georgia. I'm here. I think what that most represents to me is just saying, this is who I am. I'm fully comfortable and confident just putting it out there. Some days maybe a little bit less. You know, I mean,
sure.
we all, or I'll just speak for myself. I said I have days where I'm just like, whoa, a little bit more challenged by swimming upstream in a culture that what I do maybe isn't perceived as the cool, hip, new thing. But I just am trusting. I think it comes from the confidence, more confidence to just put it out there and let the takers or the judges or whoever just say, oh, yeah, that's not my thing, and just be totally fine with that.
Well, you know what? I think you've been successful at it from the beginning because I think that's your appeal.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably exploring other aspects and showing them to us, but I think you've always been very authentic, very honest in your work, so here we are.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
But before we run out of time, I do want to play this cut that's not on the new CD. It's called 7 Seconds. Tell us about it. You produced it in one day. It's one of those let's do it quick and not censor ourselves deals, right?
Yeah, I wrote the song in about 2 hours, and I came into the studio, and my buddy Nate Richardson recorded it in... about a couple hours, we just sat down and I played it and sang it and added a few overdubs to it. And the couple things that I'm really interested in, I'm in a little bit of a phase of thinking about a song as a 3-minute film, maybe a time-lapse film, and where there's a story that happens in sequence in a time-lapse kind of quality. And also, I wrote this really fast and recorded it very fast, and I love it. I would say it's a song that I'm going to grow and possibly re-record again in a different way. And I think I'm onto something here. I'm onto something where I'm trusting that the music is going to come out well and do it quickly and not judge myself as I'm recording. Don't overthink it, you know?
Okay, let's listen to it. It's fascinating.
Driving home tonight on Highway 9, the windshield factor falling, and the ice is breaking branches, and the radio lady's talking, and maybe this is it, maybe this is my time. 7 seconds, frozen and sublime.
is my time. And the wheels glide and slip across the center line in a counterclockwise spin. And the headlights and the red lights flash, and I'm circling around again. And maybe this is it. And maybe this is my time. 7 seconds, frozen and sublime. Maybe this is my time.
I think this is an absolutely beautiful piece. You know, I mean, maybe you're going to re-record it and change it, but I think it's great the way it is.
Yeah, thanks.
I was really impressed when I heard Nate told me that you guys had done it in one day. And
yeah.
Now, are you somebody who believes that performers and personal songs can really change people and change the world? Are you idealistic still?
What I think, I just got back from Ireland, and I spent 10 days traveling with 20 people, and those are people that fans of mine from around the country that come to my shows, and I take them and we go across the Atlantic and we go to Ireland and we go to all of these amazing historical sites and Druid stone circles and the famine center, and we just go hear some of the greatest Irish music there is in these pubs in the Southwest. And after 10 days, the group, we sit and, you know, kind of like have this, how was the trip for you all? And what I get from people is they say, I remember who I am. I remember like how much I love traveling, or how much I was away from my day-to-day life. I wasn't in touch with all the Fox News and all the, you know, I wasn't in touch with the media machine that's being mm-hmm. pumped to me every day. Mm-hmm. I got in touch with my feet dancing to the music. I got in touch with singing along to some songs. I got in touch with the community of us moving around this country together. And I kind of remember who I want to be again. It helped. And it's like, yeah, take people across the Atlantic and have 10 days of an immersion into something and have them go, oh, I remember who I want to be, you know?
So it does change people.
In a sense, I would say that, you know, saving the world or changing the world, I would say that helping myself stay alive and remember, helping us remember who we are as humans is, if I can do that even for an hour at a show or something, you know, or if I can help myself and others do that, then we're staying a little more awake rather than closing down.
With Joe Crookston, we are almost out of time. This has been such a great conversation. Can you give people some contact information so they can get in touch?
So I live in Ithaca, New York, and my website is Joe Crookston at C-R-O-O-K-S-T-O-N, Crookston, joecrookston.com. And on there's some of my paintings, and there's like a tour schedule and all that, as you can imagine. So that's probably the best way to get in touch with me, and my, you know, contact is on there, and I'd love to hear from you.
That's great. And we can look forward to a new project that you're doing called 10 Becomes One.
Yeah.
You're working with some local musicians, and that's coming soon.
Yeah, 10 Becomes One. That's basically me taking 10 of my most influential musicians in my life and distilling it into one whole.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. We'll look forward to that. Joe Crookston, thank you so much for joining us.
Right.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Tish.
That was part one of my interview with Joe Crookston. I'll be playing part two sometime soon. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outoboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.